And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Education Leadership Podcast. My name is Andrew Marotta, host of the podcast. Excited to be with you. This is not our normal hour. We're a little early here on a Saturday morning. So thank you for joining us. Thanks for jumping in live to the show. If you are watching live, say hello. Let us know where you're coming from. Maybe it's from Staten Island, my old stomping ground and home of today's guests, or maybe you're coming from anywhere in the country. So happy to be with you. Proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada, wherever you're taking in your podcast, we appreciate your support. And again, jump in, let us know where you're coming from and say hello this morning. I do want to thank the sponsor of today's show, IXL Learning. It is a personalized learning system. It's incredible. I'm going to ask today's guest, Doug Elwell, a little bit about it. He's a math teacher in Staten Island. But if you're a teacher and you haven't heard of IXL, the show, the link is in the show notes, and a tremendous tool to help reach students. So I do want to thank IXL for sponsoring the show. And I also wanted to announce two different sessions I have coming up. One is exactly a week from today, Write My Book Seminar. I'm going to play a little something here if you're watching. And the second one is our Dad Summit coming in July. So I'm going to post these right now if you're tuning in. This is next Saturday, the Write My Book Summit. It's at 9:30 Eastern time. You're interested in writing that book, join us. And this is the Dads, Leaders, and Father Figures Summit. This is going to be in Binghamton, New York. Fathers like Doug kind of working their way through it. We're going to bring dads together, talk about leadership, talk about life, and talk about being dads. So that's coming up in July. I will put both of those links in the show notes for your information. So those things are both coming up. Let's get started here on today's podcast. Again, Education, Leadership, and Beyond. Our guest today is Doug Elwell. Doug is a teacher. Doug is a former Division I men's basketball player. He's a coach. He's a trainer. He is doing a lot of things to make a positive impact on the lives of kids, the lives of those he is around. And I'm excited to talk with him today. Longtime friend, long time, a lot of circles connected there, Doug, Staten Island. So our opening topic is the next level. I watched Doug as a youngster coming up. In elementary school, Monsignor Farrell High School, and Doug took it to the next level. He had a chance to play Division I basketball in his hometown, right? And that is a tremendous accomplishment. What are the things that you're going through right now to take it to the next level? I have a friend right now, shout out to George Sedaris. He's running the London Marathon today. My brother just took a new job in another company, Paul, shout out in Minnesota, people taking it to the next level. This book writing seminar next Saturday, maybe you're interested in writing that book. Maybe you're interested in, wanting to do that, the next level. So what are some of your secrets? What are some of your things? I'm going to ask Doug about that. But whatever it is in your life that you're knocking on the door, you're scratching at, you're thinking about, let's talk about taking it to the next level and some things that you could do there. So, all right, enough of me talking. Let's bring today's guest in live from Staten Island. Doug, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, Andrew? Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. I appreciate the early morning hours. I know you got kids. I know you got juggling, but I appreciate your flexibility.
Absolutely not. This is actually late for me.
You're already approaching lunchtime.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, friends, this is Doug Elwell from Staten Island. Again, a teacher, a coach, a trainer. Doug, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days.
So again, like Andrew said, my name is Doug Elwell. Staten Island, born and raised. I'll be 37 next month, so I've been around Staten Island for a long time. Got the grays in my beard now to go through it, I was a Division I basketball player, high school basketball player, all those things, all those years. But now I have a bunch of different roles now as a high school coach, as a trainer for kids from, third grade all the way up to pros. And also now a teacher as well, which you know, we'll get into and talk about. But it's been a wild journey, and then now probably wearing the most important hat of all, which is his dad. So, you know, between all those things, it's just a whirlwind of emotions and, you know, daily basis, you know, anything could happen. So it's pretty intense. It's pretty insane, but wouldn't want it any other way. So
yeah. Surviving and thriving is real, Doug, in so many ways. And, you know, you going through it here, 37, third kid on the way. So congratulations. Doug, the opening concept was about taking it to the next level. Before we start talking about, you know, your teaching and all of that, like, what are some things that you would recommend to people watching that want to take it to the next level? Some things that maybe you did in terms of basketball, but that can translate maybe into other areas. Again, an elite group that played Division I basketball. You were captain on the team. Talk to me about some things taking it to the next level.
I think there's three words that really will get you to the next level in whatever you want to do. You know, the first word probably be passion. You have to be passionate about something. So as a young kid, I was very passionate about basketball. I was very passionate about life. So, you know, it was something that I just wanted to do. So I was passionate about it. You know, the second word would probably be, hardworking. You know, you have to work hard to get what you want. You know, and a lot of people try to take the easy way out, try to the lesser of evils and stuff like that to try to get to where they want to go. But unfortunately, you know, the cream always rises to the top, as, you know, a bunch of people used to say during my childhood and stuff like that. So, you know, you always got to figure out that, you know, if you work hard, most likely, you know, good things will happen to you, and, you know, you go through those experiences of working hard, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're in a place that you're happy with. And the last one probably be dedication, you know, being dedicated to your craft, you know, whether it's teaching, whether it's coaching, whether it's playing, whether it's, you know, working at a, you know, a finance company, you know, if you're dedicated to your job, you know, people maybe above you, maybe the boss or something, they will see that, they will notice that, and they will, you know, hopefully reward you with that, you know, and with that dedication, with that passion, with that hardworking, you know, mentality, you know, maybe you become the boss one day, and that's what it's all about, you know. Is those three things I think stick out to me as things that I've, you know, experienced and used to get me to the next level. You know, it's not easy. You know, I'm a 6'4", 6'5". At the time, I was 160 pounds soaking wet.
Wow.
You know, Division I basketball player. So I had a lot of, if you looked at a checklist of things, I didn't have a lot of them checked off. So, you know, you had to figure out ways to get around the limitations that you had, or, you know, maybe something that was a strength of mine was a weakness of somebody else. So you have to always try to figure out the road that you can go through to get to where you want to go. But definitely those three things probably got me to where I was in high end, you know, in college playing, but also now in life. I look back and probably those three things helped me to do more than just play basketball, which I think there's a lot of, you know, similarities between, you know, playing sports and, you know, succeeding in life and things like that, and being able to adapt in society and adapt every day. So I definitely think that there's a lot of, you know, things that could mesh together there that will, you know, help us out in the future if you're playing sports and, you know, thriving in those sports too, you know?
Yeah, well said there, Doug. If you're watching the show live, jump in and say hello. Let us know where you're coming from, and certainly throw a question to Doug here. Doug, you're teaching, you know, Staten Island Intermediate School math. I know that was one of your majors there at Wagner. Tell me about your classroom style, your classroom experience, and math is challenging for a lot of kids, and there's a lot of frustration there. Talk to me about your style and connecting with kids in the classroom.
Yeah, the funny thing is that anyone that knows me from basketball or has known me since I'm a kid, I tell them I'm a teacher. They're like, oh, great. You know, they always right away assume that I'm a phys ed teacher. Right away.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first thing, because I'm a basketball player, because I coach, I train. So you must be a phys ed teacher. So then I shock everyone and tell them, no, I'm a math teacher. And they, the faces I get from that is just comedy alone. You know, I probably 90% of the people that go to school or have been in school before, their least favorite subject's probably math. So, you know, and I know that. you know, because for me, it wasn't always the same. I wasn't always like a math genius. I didn't enjoy math 24/7. You know, it wasn't like one of those things. That was not a passion of mine back then, was math. You know, I had some good teachers growing up that, you know, showed me how easy math could be and how, you know, I could help, you know, myself and help other students in the classroom. So, growing up, so I definitely think that, you know, some prior teachers that I've had probably have paved the way for me to, you know, kind of make my own philosophy of how I like to run my classroom and how I like to, you know, interact with my students and stuff like that, especially because, you know, I understand how terrible math is for some people, you know, I get it. But my job is to, I tell this to parents at parent teacher conference and, you know, open school nights and stuff. My job is to not make your kid love math. It's just to tolerate it enough so that they could understand it. They could do as well as they can. And we can help them get to whatever level it is that they want to get to in terms of, you know, taking the tax test, which is our, you know, in New York City is the Catholic school test where, you know, you have to apply to get into your Catholic schools and you get ranked and all that stuff like that. So we go over curriculum for that. We go over curriculum for specialized high school exams where you can get into like Staten Island Tech and Brooklyn Tech and, you know, all those prestigious schools in the city. So, you know, just tolerating the subject itself, I think, is... you know, the first step. And by doing that, I'm telling corny jokes. I'm, you know, trying to make the kids laugh and have fun. Because at the end of the day, you know, the only times I've really learned anything in my life is, you know, times that I've, you know, had a fun experience. You know what I mean? If you're sitting there and you're just like over and over again, like, you know, what's Y equals MX plus B mean, you know, over and over again. And you're just sitting there and drilling them with, you know, empty knowledge. You know, it doesn't really help much, you know, so definitely the experience in the classroom and the environment has to be a fun time. But, you know, also having that respect for the students and having the respect for me that they know that, okay, we can have fun for a few minutes, we can laugh, we can joke, but now we're back to doing what we got to do. You know, our state test is fastly approaching here in New York. Our state test is May 7th and May 8th. So, you know, We're crunch time. We're up against the wall here, but at the same time, next week we have spring break. So my kids are going into next week with having three more days of preparation for the state exam. And then the next week we're rolling out the state exam. So it's like the worst time of the year to have it. You know, the people doing these testing, you know, scheduling don't really think about things like this, I guess. But at the same time, I explained to my students that if from September to now, if you did what you had to do and you listened and paid attention the way we did and you remembered things that we had and, you know, that there's always going to be those, you know, jokes and things like that we had that may help them to remember the things that they learned in September that they may have forgotten about. So, you know, that's kind of my style. It's just to, you know, be a positive, uplifting voice in the classroom, but, you know, but also understanding and knowing that, you know, when it's time to work, it's time to work, and we got to get stuff done because, you know, unfortunately in life, I wish all the time it'd be fun and games all the time, but, you know, there are definitely experiences and times that you have to kind of, you know, get things done that you need to get done, you know. Yeah. Like being an adult is not that fun sometimes, you know what I mean? So, like, and I think we're preparing them for those situations by saying, listen, you know, you have to go into life thinking about, like, good things, positive things, having fun with life, but at the same time, you know, there is this role once in a while that you have to turn on to be serious and be able to, you know, get through the experiences you got to get through, you know. So that's pretty much it for in terms of the teaching philosophy for me, but, and it's worked. I feel like it's worked over the years. I haven't had many, you know, I haven't had parents, you know, up at the school complaining about me or anything like that, which is always a positive in Staten Island. That's day one that you know that you're making it, is that no one's complaining about you. But you know, in all seriousness, though, like my student scores are always really good on state tests and Regents exams and all that stuff growing up. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with, you know, the way I handle a classroom and be able to do certain things. And, you know, and I can see it now with my kids. You know, it's hard to give up that control sometimes. And like, for instance, my son's in kindergarten and, you know, he's learning math and stuff like that. And I'm like, I have no idea what he's. I'm a high school teacher, and ex-high school teacher. And I have no idea what they're working on, but like in terms of like what the approach is and where it's going. But now, from September to now, I see where the approach was. I see where it was going because my son is exceptional in math. He knows exactly what's going on.
Wow. And
he's doing a great job reading. He's doing a great job writing. So like, you know, it makes it not like it's nice to see that there's some kind of, you know, at the younger ages especially, there's some kind of method to the madness. You know what I mean? Like, why are we doing what we're doing? What's the point of this? You know, that kind of thing. And sometimes as teachers, you know, you kind of sit there and that's, you know, that might be a whole day for you. It's like, what am I doing here? You know, like, what is my purpose here? Because, you know, maybe just a bad day or something like that, you know. But one of the things I always tell, you know, new teachers that are coming into the building, whether it's my new school or my old school, I always told them, you know, if I give them any advice, was just make sure that the kids never know that you're having a bad day. Never let them know. Any day you go in there, it's like, you know, it's a normal day. It's another day. You know, try not to, you know, and you want to be human as well. Obviously, you want to have emotions with them, but at the same time, you never want to have outside, you know, experiences or outside pressures taken out on the kids or any kind of, back and forth or anything like that. So I think that's probably the hardest thing as a teacher is, you know, for me, because I don't take what's going on outside in my life in the classroom. So that's probably the hardest thing, I think, is just trying to, you know, go through every day like, you know, you're in Disney World, you know, and I think that's a big thing for the, especially the young kids. They, you know, they're very naive sometimes. So to understand that you're going through something at home or a personal thing that's happening, you know, they may not understand that, you know, so, and you don't want to, you know, show too many emotions because you don't want them feeling that, you know, something's wrong or something like that. You always want to kind of be positive with them. So I think that's one of the hardest challenges as a teacher.
Doug, is that something you took from your time playing college basketball that if you had stuff going on outside, once you stepped on the court, you had to perform, you had to play, you had to be ready. Is that something that you learned to block out through basketball?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of people also too, like, you know, my wife's also an educator. She's been an educator for a little bit longer than me. But, you know, we always had these conversations, whether it's, you know, at home or with you know, relatives of mine who are also teachers. My sister's a teacher. My mother-in-law's a teacher. People at school that I'm working with, you know, and one of the biggest fears that people have as teachers is being observed. And, you know, and they're phenomenal teachers. So I always question myself, like even I have a few co-teachers I work with and a few colleagues I have now that are phenomenal teachers, but they panic and get nervous when there's going to be observation coming up, even if they know it's happening. And I'm like, you guys are phenomenal at your job. What do you care if someone comes into your room and watches you teach what you're doing? You're doing a great job. So what's the difference, you know? And I think that's one of the things I noticed when I was younger with teaching was, you know, going on interviews and going and teaching and sitting in front of a room of 34 kids and having everyone's eyes on you, you know, or doing PDs with peers that are in the school with you, you know, all that kind of stuff. You sit there and you think about it and you're like, I only have to talk in front of 30 people. That's not that bad. I'll take it. I played in front of 20,000 in college, so I had way more eyes. I had 40,000 eyes on me in college. I only have 60 here.
Not a problem.
So I think that's one of the things that I think, you know, from my opening, I think that there's a lot of connections that you can make between sports and the real life. And I think that that's one of them where, you know, someone like myself who, you know, has been able to go through playing in those big arenas and stuff like that. When I go through normal everyday life stuff, I'm not bothered by little things. I'm more fixated on the end goal that I'm worried about the most than sitting there worrying about like little things here or there. The little things here and there are not really important to me because I'm already taking care of them in my head. I already have them done. It's the bigger things that my goals are at, that I'm looking at, that I'm trying to, you know, get to. And I think that's one of the things in education that happens all the time. Like an observation, you can come in my room anytime you want. I don't care. I'm not going to be any different. I'm not going to be put on a show for you. I'm going to do exactly what I do all the time because that's my style and that's what I do. You know what I mean? So, I think that's definitely something that I've grown over the years to understand. I think definitely from playing in college and experiencing those type of environments that definitely you know, helps you kind of block out everything. But I think at the same time, it's just the mentality of just being able to, like, you know, thrive under pressure and be able to, you know, just adapt on the fly. You know what I mean? Like even the parenting stuff, this is, sometimes it's wild. You know what I mean? Like, some things are going on in the house and, you know, someone's over here, someone's over there, and things are being thrown across the room or something like that. Like, it's just, you can't prepare for it. You know what I mean? So
they're doing good now during the podcast. They're giving you some quiet time.
My wife, she's an MVP of the house. So she's killing it right now. But I can get it downstairs. But the funny thing is that, like, you know, when you're going through all these things, you know, you don't think about at the time how much that other stuff is actually going to help you down the road.
Yeah. You know,
so for me, as an educator now, as a mentor, as a coach, whatever, I try to stress that to the kids I'm with, whether it's in the classroom or on the court, because they don't understand that, like, you know, even though this practice sucks right now, this is going to make it so much easier down the road, that you're understanding what hard work looks like. And, you know, there's a deadline for a thing at your job, and now everyone's in crunch time and everyone's panicking, running around. You've already did the hardest stuff in your life already. This is easy. It's just work. You know what I mean? And to be able to adapt to that and be able to use that to, you know, get done what you need to get done is a big difference, you know? And I tell the kids about my personal experiences before and being able to play in those kind of situations and all that kind of stuff. And there is nothing like playing in front of that many people. Like, you know, I was just talking to my friends about it the other day, because shout out Wagner. Wagner was in the March Madness tournament this year. And, you know, you go to play. You go to play at home, and at home you fit 2,500 people in the gym at Wagner. It's not that many, you know what I mean? But you go play in a stage like that, and there's 40,000 people, and then all millions of people watching at home. There's a big difference doing that, you know? So, you know, I think I have a head up on some people too, from that standpoint, where, you know, I'm not bothered by as much as some people are. So, yeah, I think that definitely that they all go hand in hand together, and, you know, it helps you become a better person overall, you know?
For sure. Doug, just talk a little bit about Wagner again. Yeah, they made the tournament. You know, you were a standout player in high school. You know, Staten Island can be a small place sometimes, right, with a big microscope, and you were a big name there, you know. Doug, I'm just having a flashback. I think you were the altar server at my wedding. Is that, am I correct there, that you, that's a little bit back in the front of my head. I remember that. St. Clair, yeah. but Doug, did you think about, hey, I want to get out of Staten Island to get out of that microscope a little bit, or, you know, Wagner? Tell me about that decision to stay in Staten Island, and certainly those eyes stayed on you for sure.
Yeah, so it was, looking back at it, again, I think that everything happens for a reason. I think everything, you know, manifests the way it manifests, and things happen the way they happen. And I think that, you know, if I went back in time and I was 17 again, I may not have went to Wagner, just for that simple reason that, like you said, like, I've been here my whole life just to experience something different. Cause I do enjoy, like, when we go on vacations and stuff, I do enjoy, like, seeing something new. You know what I mean? I think that that's really important to kind of venture out and be a little more adventurous. But I definitely did not do that as a kid. You know, I stayed local, I stayed here. But one of the things that I would do, if I did change things, I would probably go away just to experience, like I said, something different people, you know. Sure. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, everything does happen for a reason. So I made a decision at 17, 16 to do what I did, and it's manifested into the life I have now. So I definitely think that that's important. But, you know, for me at the time, it was kind of like, you know, they offered me a full scholarship at the age of 15 going on 16. So I was very young. I was only a sophomore in high school when they offered me a scholarship.
Wow.
So I was very, very, you know, very, not confused, but I was just shocked, because I didn't know that that's what happened. I didn't know how the process went. And because of that, I was more, I think, just excited about the situation and excited about the moment. And, you know, Coach Dean, who was a fantastic basketball coach, he coached at a lot of high levels. Close the door. Thank you, buddy. They're playing hide and seek now. So he's off limits now. But Coach Dean, you know, was able to express to me how important I was to the program moving forward and how much that he saw in me and, you know, how much, you know, he felt that I could, you know, be an impact player in the program. And, you know, from having his pedigree that he had coaching at Marquette, coaching at Siena, coaching at Lamar, all those teams going to the tournament, I felt really good about myself. So I said, you know what? I was like, this guy trusts me. Like, and he has this, you know, opinion about me. Like, you know, obviously I must be doing something right, but at the same time, like, I felt good about it, you know? And the one thing that I don't like about college sports, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point in the next few minutes here, but it's definitely completely different now than it was. It's even worse now.
Yeah.
But it's a business. It's a business. And, you know, he gave me a timeline of how when I needed to let him know by if I was taking the scholarship or not. And, you know, when he told me that, you know, in the same sentence, he said, you know, it's not the end of the world. If you don't want to take it right now, it'll still be there. But if we see someone that's better than you and we feel like they fit our program, we're going to offer them the scholarship as well. And then at that point, it becomes whoever takes it first. So then, like, you know, I'm not really not a big gambling guy. Like, I don't gamble. I don't bet, really. And it's a big gamble to take. You know what I mean? Like,
to pass it up.
Yeah. And to know that. And yeah. Now you're trusting, again, at the time, I'm 15, 16 years old. I'm trusting my work ethic at that age to be able to recreate this in other programs and other universities, other scenarios, you know? And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Yeah. I have this in front of me. Like, what's, you know, the famous saying, two and a hand's worth more than one in the bush, right? That's the, you know, whatever. But I was like, you know what? I can't pass this up. You know, it's like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, and I knew my parents were not, you know, we didn't come from a wealthy background. So to have a full scholarship to college where they were also already telling me that if I wanted to stay for a fifth year, where I could either coach, whether I could either coach.
You can take a pause here. You got a big game of hide and seek going on, man. I mean, you must have a good spot to hide in that room.
They want to play iPads now. That's what I do. You know, so basically, you know, with the way I felt about it, it was like, you know, what am I going to do? You know, like I have this option too. They told me that I could, you know, go to school for 5 years instead of four, and I could redshirt 1 year. And if I don't redshirt, then I could be assistant coach and like a graduate assistant my last year. And now they're going to pay for my master's degree too. So now anything that I needed was right in that package.
In your backyard.
My bachelor's degree, my master's degree, everything taken care of, everything paid for. My parents not having to worry about paying for anything for me. You know, I wouldn't be a burden moving forward, you know, whatever I decided to do in college, you know, whatever it was. And it gave me the option to also stay around family and stay around my friends and stuff. So, you know, it kind of just threw me to a loop and I wasn't expecting it. I don't want to say I panicked with it, but it was more like I was just excited for the moment.
Yeah.
And then just took it. And then, you know, the other problem was that I kept playing AAU travel ball and I kept, you know, traveling the country playing. And I got better and better. And I started getting, you know, offers and recruitment still from bigger schools. And then I was like, oh man, like, what did I do? Like, you know, like, but at the same time, again, I thought in my head, okay, well, if I'm getting recruited by these schools and Wagner's a smaller school than that, then I should be able to be a pretty productive player for that program. You know, so that's kind of where my head went at that point. But, you know, there were some big offers that I turned down to play in certain systems that I, you know, probably looking back now, kick myself for. But again, that's what life's about, is making choices. And when you make the choice, you know, it's a ripple effect of other choices. And, you know, being able to sit here now in my son's room to talk to you got me to this point, you know. So any decision I made prior to this, good or bad, got me to this point. And, you know, all I can do now is just, you know, look back on those things and say, you know what, that was a good experience. I got me to where I am.
Yeah, for sure. Doug, a lot of people watching live. Again, jump in the show. Say hello. Vito Qualia, Scranton, Pennsylvania, watching. He'll be starting a podcast soon. Doug, maybe we'll connect you with Vito as well as an educator. Doug, along those lines, again, Mike Dean is a pretty interesting personality. Your college coach, I had a chance to be on the court with him as the coach. And, you know, he had the famous seatbelt thing in Staten Island there. What are some lessons that you took from Coach Dean, you know, in your life now as an adult, as a coach, as a parent? Because he was you could put in a lot of adjectives in there, fiery, energetic, very funny, too. But what are some lessons you learned from Coach Dean?
Well, that's one of the things that, like, because a lot of people watch me play in college and they the first thing they would always say is, man, that guy is he's crazy.
He's crazy.
You know? And because in Staten Island, like, you know how it is here, it's you know, a lot of people here are scared to yell at the kids and stuff like that because the parents are just as bad as you know, it's crazy. So for some people to experience that and see one of their own being, like, put through the ringer like that was kind of rough. You know, I was but again, because I guess my makeup and the way I was able to handle it. So anytime that there was something that really was like, you know, someone was getting yelled at, it was most likely me. You know, I got yelled at for other guys' mistakes and stuff like that too, because I could take it. You know what I mean? I could take it, and I didn't mind taking it because, you know, it was what it was, you know. But, you know, definitely to, like, talk on that point is, like, he had two different personalities almost, you know, like you said, he was very funny. And off the court, he may have been the most genuine guy I've ever been around, and at the same time could be the most intense human being at the drop of a dime. And one of the coolest things that I remember from my experience at Wagner was, you know, we would have all these times, these talks and these conversations and stuff after a win, after a loss, whatever it was. And he always reminded us that, like, you know, I do this now to this day, and I think that some things that you know, everyone should kind of take into consideration is, like, I had to find it. If I can find it, I'll send it to you. But there was this article that basically stated that, like, you know, all these different scenarios, and at the same time, the most important people every time in those scenarios and situations were the people that no one thought about. So, like, when you're, like, in the locker room or you're at, you know, on campus at school, the first people that you should be, you know, making sure that their day is great and they're saying hello to and all that stuff, but, like, custodians and security workers and things like that, that, like, you know, are doing a job that no one wants to do, you know? So, like, the thankfulness of people that are never thanked, you know? So I think that's one of the biggest things I took away from that. So, you know, in my school, you know, I take that because I make sure that my floors are completely clean. There's no garbage on my floors because, like, you know, I always thought back to that, like, when my coach Dean said, like, you know, that the most important people in the building are the people that are working the hardest, which, you know, you're working hard, but there's a guy cleaning up throw up. There's a guy cleaning up this, that. That's way harder than teaching a lesson, in my opinion. So I always took that into my life where, you know, I always appreciated the people doing the lowest job on the totem pole, which it seems like. So I think that's one thing that he taught us all the time was, like, you know, respecting and really going above and beyond for those kind of people. And, I think that, you know, those kind of talks and stuff helped us out to understand that there's a bigger responsibility for you in the world rather than just, like, you know, playing basketball or going to school, whatever. It was, you know, just being a kind person. That's for a lot of people that's, you know, unfortunately, a trait they need to learn as well. Not just it should be automatic in life that you're just respecting everybody, but unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, things like that, those experiences really, I think, you know, help mold us as growing up to adults that, like, you know, understood what life was really about. And it was a tough situation. You know, we all came from different backgrounds. We all had different ways of growing up and, you know, different family members and, you know, different ethnicities and, you know, for all of us to be on the same roof and, you know, live together and all that kind of stuff like that. But we all shared the same, like, bonds like that because we all experienced the same kind of things with, you know, what his teaching was and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, other things that I remember too, like he would, and this is not even, I'm not even exaggerating on this. He would go into the cafeteria, right, at, let's say 11 o'clock. Our practice was at 3, right? He would go and he would sit in the cafeteria from 11 to like 2. And what he would do is every single day, he would start eating lunch, and we would sometimes we eat with him, you know, whatever. We didn't want to eat with him. We could just walk away from him, whatever. It wouldn't matter. But he would talk to almost every single table in the cafeteria.
Wow.
Filled with students, no matter if they were in theater, no matter if they were baseball players, no matter if they were football players, water polo players, swimmers. They were just regular students that went to school. He made sure that he went around and spoke to and sat down with, like, he would sit down for no reason at tables, and people would just be like, what's this guy doing? And he would just immerse himself in the conversation of what was happening. And then he would take his wife to the play. He would take his wife to a baseball game. He immersed himself in the campus, wow. And I did hear, you know, unfortunately when he was let go, my senior year after I had finished playing my last game, you know, the people that came in after him, who all phenomenal basketball coaches, you know, Coach Dan Hurley was, you know, on campus right after him. So all phenomenal basketball coaches, but they didn't have that part of it. You know what I mean? They didn't, they were used, not, I wouldn't say they were using it, because they were, but at the same time, Wagner for them was a stepping stone to something else.
Yeah.
Gene wanted to make that home. So what he did was he put himself in that campus and went around and, like, really got into, like, talking to kids and talking to the adults and making relationships with people that, you know, that I realized, wow, like, listen, like, because for us, it was like, you know, you sat with the basketball players or the football players. That was really it. You didn't really do anything else. You know, like, that was what you're supposed to do. Then one day I was, like, walking over and I saw him sitting with, like, the people in the theater. And I'm like, what are you sitting over there for? Like, what are you doing? Like, whatever. And he's like, listen, man. He's like, you know, someday, you know, any of these people could be my boss. He's like, so I'm going around talking to everybody because I always want to just learn about people, learn about their backgrounds and whatever. So it was just very, you know, it just wasn't, you know, things he did outside of basketball were just, you know, just amazing stuff that you would never think about. You know what I mean? And now, you know, to see that experiences that I'm going through probably are very similar to what he was teaching then. You know, about, like, I'm teaching my son now, you know, be nice to everybody, you know, respect everybody, you know, whatever, say hi to everybody, you hold the door for people. Things like that are things that he was teaching us and, you know, at 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. So, it definitely gets a bad rap because he was just so, so different on so many different levels. But he, in my opinion, he really meant well and just had a really difficult way of expressing to you how he felt about you. So I still talk to him almost, I would say, every other month or so.
Beautiful.
So I talk to him now.
We'll make sure we send him this podcast because I was a fan of his as well. Shout out to Andrew Myra watching, good friend of the program. Andrew, thanks for tuning in. Doug, you got spring break here in front of you. You're a teacher, you're coaching, all, yeah. You know, surviving and thriving is real, Doug. How are you going to recharge? What are some things that you're going to do this week to take care of your own health, to have that energy for all the people that you're reaching these days? Talk to me about recharging and your health this week.
Yeah, so I actually did that a little bit a couple of weeks ago, too. I was up in Mohonk, New York, and my wife, my kids, my mother-in-law, father-in-law, my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and their spouses, we all went up to Mohonk for the weekend.
Beautiful.
Didn't know when we went there that there was going to be no televisions in the room and Wi-Fi would be spotty and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think that one of the things that happens is we get so invested in our technology and phones and all that kind of stuff. And I'm 100% guilty of it. I think that's one of the biggest things is to kind of step away from those things for a little bit and kind of recharge that way, where you're not staring at a phone all day or staring at a computer screen all day and kind of doing things outside or doing things with your family and kind of doing that. Like, my son wants to go see this weekend. We'll see when we can fit it in, but wants to go see King Kong versus Godzilla in the movie theater. So we'll probably do that at some point. And my daughter does gymnastics, so we'll probably go to gymnastics class at some point this week. And so I think just spending time with my family is really important because I think it shows me why I do what I do. You know, I hustle and grind. My wife does the same thing. She owns her own business as well on the side from teaching. She owns a balloon decorating company. So most of the weekends we're up this early already because we're already setting up for parties and stuff at different places on Staten Island or the city or Jersey. So, you know, we hustle and grind a lot. So between the two of us, it's nice sometimes just to like kind of just chill, you know, just kind of sit back and, you know, watch the kids doing something or, you know, an event going on that we can attend as a family or something like that. So I think just things like that, just showing why you're doing what you're doing is just important. Like, you know, teaching, obviously, it's an everyday thing. You don't really get a break from it. But, you know, the coaching and the training and stuff like that, that stuff, I think, puts you over the top and puts you a little more on your plate. And, you know, it may be good from time to time financially, you know, depending on the situations. But, you know, you're seeing why you're doing it because your family needs it or your family, you know, appreciates it and stuff like that. So I think just recharging with the family, being able to kind of just settle down and just, you know, turn technology off and just kind of be with each other and be in the moment, you know?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, good luck and enjoy it. Again, not only your day jobs, your children, you got both have outside kind of jobs you're doing. Doug, this, you know, 40 minutes went fast here. Anything I didn't ask you about that you wanted to talk about that you wanted to share?
Not really. Just, you know, with the training aspect of basketball and the coaching aspect of basketball, you know, I've been very blessed to be around some great kids and some great families and, you know, help them to get to their next level that they want to get to. So, you know, shout out to all the kids and parents that have trusted me with their kids over the years that, you know, I've been able to, you know, be a part of. And, you know, a lot of the people that I train and work with, you know, we say this all the time with them and new people I train, I try to explain it to them. They become family, you know, so anyone that I've worked with over the last few years, they know they can give me a call and anything, I drop my, you know, whatever I was doing to help them out. You know, I have ex players now that are at the age now where they're getting their jobs and stuff like that. So they're putting me down as references and things like that. And, you know, one of my players that was, you know, a really hardworking player, for my JV team, when we won a championship back in 2013, just called me this week, beginning of the school year this year, because he got a job as a teacher and wanted to thank me for all the things I did for him. And,
wow.
And he also became the basketball coach at the school.
Nice.
So during the season, he was picking my brain a lot and stuff like that. And he kept, you know, kept saying, "I'm sorry to bother you." I'm like, "You're not bothering me, man." I was like, "This is literally a full circle moment where, like, you know, the kids I've started coaching now are becoming men or women, you know, whatever, and now they need help, you know, navigating what I've already been able to navigate through." So it just feels great. And I appreciate the people that have been able to, you know, support me through the years and be able to, you know, someone like yourself or someone like Danny Chenard, who, I don't know if you know Danny, he runs Nobody Cares Sports on Staten Island. So he does a lot of great things for the community and stuff like that. He always has me involved with it because he knows how passionate I am about the community. So there's a lot of just good people that are, you know, filling my life, and I really appreciate them. And, you know, that's what makes me who I am, you know, and that's what makes, you know, me be able to do the things I do. So my wife is she hasn't, you have no idea, man. She puts up with so much, and, you know, she doesn't show it on the outside, but I'm sure on the inside it eats her up sometimes how much I'm doing and what I'm, you know, participating in and all that kind of stuff. But, she's, you know, the MVP of our family. She's the backbone here. She's the reason why that we're, you know, in the positions we're in. So, you know, I really can't say enough great things about her and all the support that she's given me over the last few years too, doing all the stuff that I'm doing. So.
Love it. Love it, Doug. Keep it up. Keep up the work, because it is making an impact. And again, please leave Doug a comment in here. Doug, before we get to rapid fire, you know, I talk about surviving and thriving. Let's take out the "and." You said some great things this morning. Passion, hard work, dedication. I love what you talked about, the immersion, about Coach Dean. But what word are you putting in there? What mindset, what strategy, what technique are you? We take out the word "and," surviving, blank, thriving. What's that word for you? What's that action for you?
Surviving while thriving.
Wow. Love it. Talk to me more about that.
I think that the only way to move forward in life is to be able to just continue doing you know, what you're doing and moving forward. But, you know, in order to thrive, you got to survive, right? So I think that, you know, as you're going through different situations and different processes, you know, there's a lot of challenges that come in. So, you know, even though there's challenges happening, you still have to continue being, you know, the person you are, whether it's your dad, whether you're a coach, whether you're a trainer, whether you're a teacher. So I think that that kind of, I think those two words really go hand in hand well, but I think that, you know, surviving while thriving, you know, your head is above the water, you know, you're kind of in quicksand a little bit, but you're getting yourself out of it, or, you know, things like that. I feel like that's a really good word to put there. I think on a daily basis, I feel like I'm doing that, you know, I feel like I'm thriving, but sometimes I'm not surely, you know, I'm not really there yet, but we're getting there, you know.
It's a journey for sure. Well, this has been fun, Doug. Let's get to rapid fire. I know you got kids there ready to go with you, and it's a busy Saturday. Again, I appreciate your flexibility in making this happen. Doug, this is like, you know, Friday getting to the game on Staten Island. Quick, rapid answers. Here we go. You ready?
Ready.
Last book you read?
Toughness, Jay Billis.
Yeah, he's great. Love it. Last movie you saw?
Oh, boy. In the movie theater, it was Paw Patrol Mighty Force.
Last concert you went to?
I'm not a concert person, so I think it was Blink-182 Weezer.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
long time ago.
Staten Island's got a ton of great places to eat. Your favorite dish?
Oh, man. It's probably going to be tortellini Alfredo with a little broccoli in there.
Nice. Favorite place to travel?
Long Beach Island, New Jersey.
Yeah, baby. This summer, I will fill in the blank.
Oof. I will. I will try to recharge. It's been a long year, I feel like, in terms of education and all the stuff that I've been doing, and with. I will enjoy my new baby. I almost forgot. But yeah, so that will definitely be something that we're going to be doing, enjoying the family time with the new baby. So
be good. God bless you there. A pet peeve of yours?
Pet peeve would probably be talking more than working. A lot of kids that I train and work with do a lot of talking, they don't work as hard. So I feel like that's one of the biggest things for me.
Yeah. The world they're growing up in is a little different with all that video. Everybody's watching everybody else instead of doing it. I hear you. You're on the podcast now, but 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
I feel ready. There's a lot that goes on our Saturdays and Sundays, so it's basically just trying to figure out what to do first and how to attack the day going forward. So definitely ready.
Best part of Staten Island?
I'd say the passion for the people have. Yeah. You know, whether it's, you know, whatever passion you have in your life, the people here have it by like times it by 100, you know. So if it's food that they like, they're passionate about their food. If it's sports they like, they're passionate about their sports. If it's family, passionate about their family. So I think that one thing in Staten Island, we always get, we always get the knock on being like, you know, these crazy people all the time. And I think that that's because we're just very passionate about things that we enjoy and things we like. So I think that's one of the things. I think passionate would be probably number one thing. They're passionate about a lot of things. They're passionate about, and you know this very well, they're passionate about hating officials and refs. They're one of a kind here in Staten Island.
That's a good way to put it. Well, there's the next question. What's the worst part of Staten Island?
I guess the stereotypes. The stereotypes are the worst thing about Staten Island, you know, because especially growing up being, and now coaching and training and stuff, you know, the one thing that we've always never gotten respect for is basketball. You know, we've gotten a lot of respect for football. We've got a lot of respect for baseball, you know, those kind of sports like that. We have a lot of players that have gone on to professional careers in those two, but we never really had any basketball players. So I think that, you know, one knock about us is always the basketball. So I think that that's, you know, maybe the stereotype there about not really having basketball players that are able to compete at a high level. So
yeah, well, you were one of the people that broke that stereotype, and that, you know, I know there was a lot of a lot of lights on you because of that.
It took us getting out off of Staten Island to do that. That's
what exactly. Exactly. Something about Doug Elwell that people do not know about.
I guess now they do, but one of the things that would be I was a math major in college. You know, I think that's something that people don't really know about me. I had a 4.0 GPA too. So I was very, very smart back in the day. It was I think most of the time, especially basketball, I feel like that those two things always don't mesh, where you're worried, you're learning and doing all your stuff, but you're known for air education stuff instead of your sports stuff. And my senior year, I actually got an award at graduation for the highest GPA in the math program.
So I went up to the stage
and got my award, and I was sitting with President Grassi at the time, who was a great human being, great man, and he obviously came to all the basketball games and knew us from playing and everything. He always had conversations with us. And he turned to me and goes, "I don't think I've ever given one of these to a basketball player." I think he was just half joking, but at the same time, it just felt good that, I think it's one of the hidden talents I have is that, something like math to me is easy and things like that. So definitely something like that people probably don't know about me until they talk to me or know about my life is that I'm a math teacher. I majored in math in college.
Something that Doug Elwell is curious about.
I'm curious to see. I'm curious how parenting goes as they get older. It's been fun so far. It's been very interesting, I guess you could say. There's so many different things that take place throughout the day, the week. But to see my son growing up, he's 5 now, he'll be 6 next month, and going through the processes that he's going through and the changes that he's going through. And then, my daughter's 3. So now to see what the difference is between her growing up and him growing up at the same levels and stuff like that, and just kind of comparing the two of them and see what happens with the third one. So I think just curiosity would probably be just like, what's next? What's bound to happen?
And you're adding that your third baby's coming. God bless you, Doug. This has been fun. You mentioned about your coaching and the training. How can people get in touch with you if they'd like to contact you about that? What's the best way people can reach you?
Sure, on social media, on Instagram. So I'm on it's at Inspire INSPIRE Hoops HOOPS and _ at the end. That would be my tag on there. I even put up tutorial videos and different things like that, like drills and stuff that people can use. So, I try to do it so that people that don't know what they're doing, or, CYO coaches that follow me or something like that, that have access to my page, they can kind of learn stuff too as they go.
Yeah. At Inspire Hoops _. That's Doug Elwell. Doug, again, I appreciate you. You have a quote you'd like to end us with?
I do. I have one. I saw your thing. I pulled it up because I it's funny because now as an adult and I'm watching like Disney movies and movies like that. And now as an adult, and you realize how maybe adult driven they actually are compared to what they seem to be, I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There's one movie that I liked when I was in, I think it was in college. That was a cute movie. That was funny. And then I started watching it with my kids again, and there's a quote at the end of the movie that comes up. I don't know if you ever saw it, Meet the Robinsons. Did you ever see it?
Okay, no.
It's a Disney movie. It's not one of the Disney princess movies, but it's one of the Disney movies that's under their Pixar, not Pixar, the other genre of movies for Disney. But there's a quote that comes up at the end that's from Walt Disney. And I think that between our conversation today, I think it's one of the biggest things that people can do is this. We keep moving forward, opening new doors, and doing new things because we're curious, and curiosity keeps leading us to down new paths.
Beautiful. That was well said, Doug. Yeah, beautiful.
That's a good quote. I think that, we should be curious. We should be trying to, open all these doors and see where they lead us to. And like I said, every choice I've made, whether it be good or bad, I opened that door up and it got me to where I am. So, I think that, and the movie's a cute movie. It's about a little boy who becomes an inventor, and he wants to invent all these things, and he has this big imagination, and some things seem not to work, and you know, he keeps getting frustrated and doesn't pan out for him. So he thinks, and then it's a great movie. And you know, it's like a perfect quote for that movie, but I feel like it's also a perfect quote for life. So definitely good stuff.
Well said, Doug. This has been fun. We had a triple overtime period here, you know, but you have a story to share. You want to make an impact, so I'm happy to spend the time. Check him out, not only Staten Island, anywhere around New York City, at @InspireHoops_ on Instagram. This is my friend Doug Elwell from Staten Island. Doug, I forgot that you would altar serve at my wedding, and it hit me here today. So long time Staten Islanders. Got to give a shout out to University Basketball Camp. Doug and I both deeply impacted by the leaders there, the Mazzella family, the Mike Alaskas family. They both had a deep impact on us. I know, Doug, you were, you know, one of their stars for sure. So, thanks for coming on the program here.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. All right, everyone, friends. This is Doug Elwell, Staten Island, New York. We're going to sign off, Doug. You stay on the line here a minute. Everyone else, we wish you a great weekend. And like Doug said, find that way to recharge, find that way to inspire others and make that impact. And I love the quote at the end, Doug, about being curious. So we're going to sign off. Keep surviving and thriving, friends. If I could help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at @AndrewMorata21 on Twitter. Keep rolling on your journey, friends. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
All right, hang tight, bro. We got to play this here, man. We'll be right back.